हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं भवामहे कविभात् ओम् शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ओम् So in Brihadaranyakam class, we are taking important aspects and we have been seeing them. The last thing which we saw was that what is actually loved in the world is one's own self. So love for anything in the world is actually love for one's own self. Why? Because what is actually loved is happiness. Not even the self, not even Bhagavan, not even anything else. What is that which is sought after? What is that which is wanted? What is that this human mind aspiring for, longing for, is happiness. In fact, happiness itself means We've been talking about this happiness all the time. Happiness, what is happiness? Being happy is equal to happiness. Being happy is happiness means when? Always. Where? Everywhere. With whom? With what? With everything, with everybody. Therefore, the very expression, happiness itself means being happy always, being happy everywhere, being happy with everybody is happiness. And this happiness is something which is sought after, which is wanted, which is searched for always by all the people of all times. Happiness is what is loved. Therefore, the most loved is the happiness, the dearest is the happiness. So it is not an object, it is not a state of mind, it is not something to be attained at all. Happiness is something to be attained at all, even though it is sought after, even though it is searched for, it is not something to be attained at all. And Shastra makes it very clear, it is this happiness which is sought after through all the accomplishments, all the pursuits, and all the relationships. Therefore, love is actually for this happiness only. Nitya nirantara sukhaya eva. Sukham eva priyam bhavati. What is priyam for us, what is dear for us is only this happiness. And here, what is the source of this happiness? Is any object in the world which is a source of happiness? No. Nothing in the world is a source of happiness. World is not a source of happiness. And we have to add one more sentence. Nor is the world responsible for my unhappiness also. Whether we like it or not, this is the fact repeatedly, you know, actually declared by the Shastram. The world is neither the source of happiness, nor is it responsible for the unhappiness. It means the world does not cause unhappiness, world does not give you happiness. World cannot make you happy or unhappy. The world doesn't. Then what is this world? The world is just the world. If what is loved the most is happiness, and what is this happiness then? What is the source of pleasure or happiness? So we say, so we explained in the previous classes, we took a lot of time, spent a lot of time to make you understand even pleasure also is a manifestation of fraction of fullness is pleasure. And fullness is happiness. This is the difference. Manifestation of fullness is happiness. And manifestation of fraction of fullness is pleasure. That's why it is not something to be attained. Which means, what is the source of happiness? Something has to manifest. Manifestation of fullness is happiness. Manifestation of fraction of fullness is pleasure. And pleasure is time-bound, comes and goes. But happiness doesn't come and go. It's always there. Therefore, Shastram says, makes it very clear, the only source of happiness is the reality implied by the term Brahman or Atma. And that reality happens to be one's own real nature, one's own self. You are the only source of happiness. One's own self is the only source of happiness. Therefore, what is most loved is happiness means. That's why we say moksha is the purushartha. We never say jnanam is purushartha. Know that. The absolute end is moksha, we say. Thereafterwards, jnanam becomes the end, because jnanam and moksha are identical, because it's something to be discovered. Now we say the only source of happiness is one's own self, one's own nature, one's own real. The truth obtaining as one's own self. Therefore, Shastram said, the love for anything in the world is actually love for happiness. And happiness, one's own self happens to be the source of happiness. Love for happiness, love for one's own self. For love for anything in the world is actually love for one's own self. Nothing else in the world is loved. That is why there is no such a thing called selflessness at all. There's only selfishness. So that's why the Shastram doesn't say it is wrong to be selfish. Shastram in fact makes us understand the fact it's very natural for us to be selfish. Because being selfish means what? No, having love for happiness is love for one's own self, which is being selfish. Because happiness is your own real nature. That is why Shastram repeatedly says, there is no way of attaining this happiness, something to be discovered, understood as one's own real nature. So that was made in the previous mantra, the whole teaching was, we'll see that mantra today, the 7th, 8th mantra which we saw, I'm just repeating. So, that 4th Brahmanam we saw, the 8th mantra, tadetat priyaha, preyaha, tadetat preyaha, putrat, tad etat putrat preyaha, priyo vittat, vittat, sorry, preyo. Preyo anyasmat, preyo anyasmat, sarvasmat, antarataram, yadayamatma, sayo saha, saha, yaha, anyam, atmanaha, priyam bruvanam, Bruyat priyam rotsyati itishvaro ha tathaivasyat atmanameva priyamupasita saya atmanameva priyamupaste naha asya priyam pramayuktam bhavati. So this mantra, what it says here is nothing new, what has not been said before. So there, because the reality obtaining as one's own self happens to be the only source of happiness, and what is loved happens to be the happiness, what is actually loved is one's own self. So love for putrat If we say, I love my son so much, if we say, like love for one's own son also is actually love for one's own self. But what is that which is loved more than one's own self? One's own happiness. You ask, what is that you love more than yourself, your son? Putrat, I love my son so much. Actually, what you love more than your son is happiness. And happiness happens to be a surupam. You are the most loved. You may say, I love my son. Of course, you may love your son. But what is the most loved through the love for the son, what is actually loved is yourself. That is happiness. So, putrat preyaha. Okay. Then, vittat preyaha. Of course, we all love. Vittam literally means our wealth in general. So, love for any sort of position or possession, any wealth is actually love for happiness. The love for happiness is love for one's own self. Because one's own self and happiness are not two different things. Self and happiness are not two different things. Therefore, here, vittat preyaha. Now, anyasmat sarvasmat. Anyasvat sarvasmat, when you say, other than anything else in the world, everything else in the world, what is the most loved is one's own self. I said, antarataram yad ayam atma. Antarataram is innermost. Antarataram, antaram means inner, interior, isn't it? What interior to yourself? Antarataram, when you say, antarataram means one's own real nature is antarataram, the most, the innermost essence of every being, obtaining as one's own self is what antarataram yad ayam atma, saha, yaha, no, that is the, what is most loved. Anyam atmaha priyam bruvanam. Suppose somebody says, no, I love this person other than the other person. If somebody says the other person is, I love the other person more than myself, if somebody says, let him say. It's only his expression of blabbering, okay? Let him say, oh, I love that person so much, I love somebody. You know, we hear all these love stories, no? People come and tell, I love that person, love this person, love this person. I love... No, it's very common, isn't it? The people, whole world says this. Everywhere it is, this expression is very common. The girls say, the boys say, the men say, the women say, and I love that, I love that. And even people say, I love my dogs, isn't it? Pets, I love them. I love animals. I love... People say, Upanishad says one sentence, know that? The yaha anyam atmanaha priyam bruvanam. Suppose anyam atmanaha priyam bruvanam. Somebody says, other person is dear to me, I love that person, and let him say bruyat. Let him say that. Really speaking, but rotsyati iti ishvaraha tathevasyat. Even if a person, even if a person says, that if at all somebody says, I love something else other than myself, that love will not last forever. Mm-hmm. One day that will disappear. If at all somebody says, I love this person, and that love one has for other person, one day will disappear. It will not, if at all there somebody says that, it will perish. It won't stay forever. Then, suppose, somebody say, even the love for Bhagavan is love for one's own self only. Suppose somebody discovers that fact of one's own self being the only source of love. And the person who says, I love myself, which means for one who sees the self being the whole, and such a person is this. If a person, a wise person says, I love the whole world, means, how is it possible for this wise person to love the whole world? How can Bhagavan love the whole world? It means, whether Bhagavan or this wise person, when somebody says, I love the whole world, for him the whole world is not an object. Only when you see the whole world as yourself, only then love for the world is possible. One must be able to see the world being one's own self. Only then the love for the world is possible. even then he doesn't love the world, he loves the self only. That is the most important thing. Otherwise, love for any object in the world is only a temporary thing, it will not last forever. Actually, what is thought through, that is the love, the one's own happiness. That is what is said in this particular mantra, what we have seen, finished. Let us go to next mantra now. Now the question comes, so what is that source of happiness? The next mantra actually comes, the ninth mantra, Tadahur yad brahma vidyaya sarvam bhavishyanto manushyah manyante kimutad brahma avet yasmat tat sarvam abhavaditi. It says, let me read again, Tadahur yad. It is said, Tadahur means it is always said. What is said here? Brahma vidyaya sarvam bhavishyantaha manushyaha manyante. See, people think, people always consider, wise people consider this fact. What is that? Brahma vidyaya sarvam bhavishyanti. If you know Brahma vidya, here is a, you know already this expression Brahma vidya. The knowledge of the truth, the reality which is of the nature of limitlessness implied by the term Brahma. And Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the reality is Brahma Vidya. By knowing the reality, the absolute reality implied by the term Brahma, Brahma Vidyaya, Sarvam Bhavishyanti, one becomes everything. Suppose the wise person says, I love the whole world, which means for him the whole world is the self. He becomes the whole world. Wise person doesn't becomes the whole world. Means does he really become the whole world? No. The wise person sees the fact of the whole world being the self. See, if you must be able to see, the entire ocean is water. You are able to see the fact, isn't it true? Don't you see this fact? The whole ocean is water. For a way to see this fact, the entire ocean is water, the wave must see the wave being water. The wave is water, all the waves are water, the entire ocean is water. And this is a fact. Similarly here, if an individual is the truth, essentially, implied by the term Atma, the whole world, all the beings here, everything here is Atma essentially. This is what the whole Jagat is Atma. Only the person who sees this fact, one who sees the self as the Atma, thereby one who sees the whole world as Atma, such a person said to becoming everything. Seeing the whole world as one's own world as Brahma is becoming the world. One cannot become the world. Water can never become the ocean. Water need not become the ocean. Know why? The ocean is already water. Ocean, see, for example, if we say, oh, the water becomes the ocean. Wave becomes the ocean. How can wave become the ocean? It is always a wave only. But wave is essentially water. The entire ocean is already the water. And wave recognizing this fact of the wave being water is what? Wave becoming the ocean. Is it clear now? Similarly here, the person who recognizes the fact of one's fact, recognizes the fact that one's own self is Atma, such a person recognizes the fact of the entire world being the Atma. And recognizing the entire world being Atma is what? One becoming the world. Is it clear? The one cannot become the world. Where you place your eye? If you place your eye in Atma, the consciousness, then the whole world is Atma, the consciousness. Therefore, you can say, I am the whole world. Where can you say, I am the whole? If where you place your eye, isn't it? If eye is located, placed in the physical body, how can you become the whole world? If eye is identified with the physical body, you are just a small physical body, time-bound, spatially limited, object-wise limited, this physical body. sitting in one corner of the house. How can it become the whole world? If I is located in your mind, I is placed in your sense organs, then you are limited individual. If I is cognitively shifted from anatma, the body, mind, sense complex, and resolved in the reality, the consciousness, from the standpoint of consciousness, the reality, the all-pervasive reality, atma, you can say the whole jagat is atma, means one becomes the whole world. Is it clear now? So how does one become sarvam bhavishyanti, bhavishyantaha? Sarvam bhavishyantaha means what? One becomes by the knowledge of this truth implied by the term atma, brahma vidyaya, sarvam bhavishyantaha. Now they become everything here. So if you have the knowledge of the truth, you become everything. You are as though everything, isn't it? If you don't have the knowledge of the truth, then you are an individual, body, mind, sense complex, sitting in one corner, subject to all limitations. If you know the truth, then the whole jagat is yourself. In knowledge, everything is one's own self. In ignorance, limited individual, body, mind, sense complex is the self. That's all the difference. So, brahma vidyaya sarvam bhavishyantaha manushyaha manyante. If one discovers the truth, the reality implied by the term brahma, with only truth of everything, then if you discover the truth of everything, obtaining as one's own self, then one becomes everything. Sarvam bhavishyantaha manyante. It's always people consider this, people say this fact. What is this? That one becomes everything. How can one become everything? By knowing the truth of everything. If you know the truth of everything, you become everything. Why? The truth of everything is yourself. So, brahma vidyaya sarvam bhavishyantaha manushyaha manyante. Therefore, kimu tad brahma? Isn't it? So, what is that brahma? Kimu tad brahma? And second thing, one more question comes. Suppose, by knowing that Brahman, one becomes everything means. So how does that Brahma becomes everything? What is that knowing which Brahman becomes everything? What is that by knowing which Brahman becomes everything? No, that question is not right. Brahman need, So if you know Brahman, you become everything. Because Brahman is everything. So what is that by knowing which Brahman becomes everything? Now Brahman does not need to do anything to become everything. Brahman is already everything. So Brahman, you don't need to worry about Brahman. How does Brahman become everything? Brahman is already everything. Brahman need not become everything. Brahman is already everything. Everything is already Brahma. Therefore, because everything is already Brahma, if you know that Brahma, you also become everything. And when you know that Brahman, what is that Brahman? That Brahman is you are yourself, you yourself. Thereby you become everything. Brahman is everything. And that Brahman you have to be discovered as your own self. When you discover that Brahman as yourself, you become everything. This is what is said there. Therefore, now, the important mantra, which have been waiting for ages to Karivat, that Mahavakyam is going to come in the following mantra. Isn't it? We've been waiting and waiting for so long. So, here in between, Shankara comes and wants us to think. So, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth implied by the term Brahman, that reality need not do anything, does not do anything to become everything. Because Brahman already it is everything. But as an individual, when you discover that Brahma, that Brahman as yourself, then you become everything. Don't become it. You also recognize the factor of already everything being yourself. So what is that? Here Upanishad says, you have to discover that Brahman, which is already everything. You have to see the fact of yourself being that Brahman. Yourself being identical with that Brahman. You are essentially that Brahma, which alone is in the form of everything. Which is everything. That world. What is Brahma? Reality. Brahman is only a word implying the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. Therefore, by discovering, you have to see the fact of your real self being that Brahma, being identical with that Brahma. So, Jiva, Brahma, Swarupa, Aikyam you have to discover. Jiva means what? When you see, look at yourself as an individual body, mind, complex, then you are a Jiva. Essentially, even though you call yourself Jiva, you are actually already Brahma. You have to discover this fact of yourself being already Brahma, yourself being identical with Brahma. If you discover it and you become everything. How? Because Brahma, everything is Brahma and you are Brahma. Therefore, when you discover this fact, you become everything. So, what is that? So, it is said in the following mantra. The mantra gives. It is called what? Mahavakya Vicharaha. So the Mahavakya Vicharaha, the enquiry into the nature, into the meaning, enquiry into the meaning of the words contained in the Mahavakyam, this great declaration. It's called Mahavakya Vichara. Why do we need the Vichara here? Because you have to see the fact of yourself being identical with Brahman, yourself being already Brahman. So this following mantra gives this answer. Brahmava idamagra asit. Brahmava idamagra asit. Do you all find the mantra? Have you all found the mantra? You all found it?
Yes.
Brahmava idamagra asit. Tad Atmanam Eva Ved Atmanam Eva Aved Atmanam Eva Aved. Aham Brahma Asmi Iti.
Aham Brahma Asmi Iti.
Brahmava Idamagra Asit.
Brahmava Idamagra Asit.
Tad Atmanam
Eva
Avet. Aham Brahma Asmi Iti.
Aham Brahma Asmi Iti.
Tasmat
Tat sarvam
abhavat. So here, idam agre asit. Idam means what? What idam is third person singular pronoun idam. Id, this. Idam agre asit. Agre asit means whatever you look at it as now, this is what? Idam, this entire universe was there before. Which means it is not newly brought into existence. And what was this universe? Before what was is known? What was known as Brahman alone, now is this universe. This universe before was Brahma. That Brahman which was before is now this universe. Is it clear? So what presupposes, the world presupposes what? Brahma. Brahman is what? In the form of the universe. So idam agre asit. This was there before as Brahma. And the Brahman is now in the form of this universe. This. What is indicated by this third person singular pronoun idam? This. is nothing but Brahman before. And Brahman was before what was known as Brahman is his universe. So what is Brahma? What is universe? Now, isn't it? So reality without Nama Rupa is Brahma. Reality with Nama Rupa is universe. Which means what was Brahma, what is now also is Brahma. So what was before, the forms, names and functions were unmanifest, Brahma. Forms, names and functions manifest is universe. So where are these forms, names and functions unmanifest? Where are they unmanifest? They are unmanifest in Brahma. When they become manifest, where are they? In Brahman only. So the forms, names and functions which constitute the jagat remain unmanifest in Brahma. They remain manifest in Brahma. Whether they are manifest or unmanifest, they are not outside of Brahma. So when they are unmanifest, you call it is what? Brahma. When they are manifest, you call it universe. Are they two different things now? No. So Brahma va idam agra asit. And that Brahma, we say, Atmanam eva avet. That Brahma here need not know anything in the world. Okay? It has to know its own self. Brahma Atmanam eva avet. Brahman has to, that Brahman has to what now? Know its own self. As what? Aham Brahma asmi iti. So, I self am Brahma. Iti avet. Avet means may one know. May the Brahman know, discover. Okay? If they discover Aham Brahma asmi iti, the tasmat sarvam abhavat. See, the most important thing here is, you have to understand one thing before you go to the actual vichara of Aham Brahma Asmi vichara. You have to understand one thing. You see, even in Bhagavad Gita this morning I was mentioning, when Shastram says, nothing is newly created, nothing is destroyed also. Even though in our understanding that something is always created, something is destroyed. We see things being created, things being destroyed. In our understanding, there's a creation of things, there's destruction of things. In our understanding, there's a birth of beings, the death of beings. And also, in between birth and death, changes also happen. All these things are seeing, and Shastram calls all of them, you know, they go with the one word, Jagat. Universe only. So here, we look at it, the whole thing as Jagat. Is this Jagat created? No. All the beings, with all the differences, with all this, all of the entire world of objects, the forms, names and functions, nothing is newly created. All of them was, all of them is, all of them will ever be. Nothing is destroyed and created. So, if it was not created, it's always there. Beginninglessly it is there, endlessly it is going to be there. But in between what happens? There is a time the world is available for interaction. There is a time the world is, when you say world, the world of objects, the world of beings is available for transaction, is available for interaction, is available for experience, available for objectification, available for perception, available for experience and enjoyment. When the world is available for experience, before I go for this vichara, just let me make it very clear. Tad Brahma idameva asit, isn't it? I'm only explaining to you. Idam agra asit. This world was before. I'm explaining only one sentence. Only then I can go to Aham Brahma Asmi. Before we go to Aham Brahma Asmi, understand this. Idam agra asit. Brahma va idam agra asit means what? This entire universe was there before as Brahma. This entire universe was there before as Brahma. The same Brahman which was there now alone is as the universe. That is understood. we have to understand. See, if we have to understand this fact, everything is Brahma. You know, everything is Brahma. And you, if you have to see yourself being everything, you have to recognize that Brahman being yourself, thereby you have to recognize the fact of everything being yourself. For you to understand that, you need to understand this fact that everything was there before as Brahma. Idam agre Brahma asit. Idam agra asit. Brahma asit. Brahman was there. What was Brahman? This entire universe was there before as Brahma. As the reality implied by the term Brahma. Which means the whole universe was there as the reality implied by the term Brahma. The whole universe was nothing but reality. When you say whole universe, idam, this word is such a big word. One small third person singular pronoun word, idam stands for, isn't it? Innumerable, countless forms, names, functions, actions, the laws, the past experiences. Which means the universe was there before. As when the universe was there before, what do you call that universe? Brahma. What is Brahma? Absolute reality. Abstract, absolute reality implied by the term Brahma. There was reality. The universe was there as reality. Which means the universe is Brahma. But when it was Brahma, you don't call it what? Universe. When it is universe, you don't call it Brahma. Universe is Brahma, Brahman is universe. When do you call Brahma? When do you call universe? They say one and the only reality, one and the only secondless non-dual reality, Ekam Advitiyam Advaitam reality, Brahman. When do you call Brahma? When do you call it universe? Isn't it? And what is that reality? That reality is, of course, we already studied here very, very other Upanishads. Reality is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. When you say, when the universe is, when there is universe, there is, we call it manifest knowledge, manifestation of knowledge. Is it? When the universe is not there, the pure knowledge. So, reality as pure knowledge is implied by the term Brahma. Reality as manifest knowledge is universe. Knowledge manifest is universe. Knowledge pure is implied by the term Brahma. Two different words. One and the only reality is known by two different words as what? Idam Jagat Brahma. When do you call reality Brahma? When the knowledge reality is pure. Isn't it? Then you call it Brahma. When the reality is manifest, you call it universe, Jagat. Then you use the term Idam. Is it clear now? First step is clear or not? Now, when you say reality is, when there's manifestation, reality in the form of knowledge. So manifest means what? Manifestation of reality is Jagat, means reality happens to be the pure knowledge. Manifestation of knowledge is the universe. Knowledge manifest is the universe. Knowledge pure is Brahman. First step has become, idamagra asit, one sentence become, let become very clear first. Knowledge pure is Brahma. I don't use them unmanifest. Is it clear? I am very careful. I am not using the word unmanifest knowledge. I don't like the word unmanifest knowledge. Okay? When you say Jagat unmanifest, you can say knowledge manifest is the universe. Knowledge pure is Brahma. So what is it? When the knowledge manifest is universe, means universe is manifestation of knowledge. So how to, then it means the universe unmanifest is what? Universe unmanifest is pure knowledge. Is it? Knowledge manifest is what? Universe. Universe unmanifest is pure knowledge, Brahma. Knowledge manifest is what? The world. Is it clear? Now the question comes, the universe is not created. Why? Universe is Brahma. And Brahman is what? The very expression Brahma says, the reality has no beginning. Reality has no beginning. Reality has no end. Reality is of the nature of timelessness. Therefore what? Reality is time-wise limitless. And reality pervades everything, spatially limitless. And reality is in the form of everything, object-wise limitless. Therefore it is implied by the term Brahma. This we already understood very well, other Upanishads in Bhagavad Gita class. It is very clear for us. Therefore, if reality manifest is the universe means, what about universe then? Universe is Brahma. Therefore, universe also has no beginning. Is it clear now? Universe is not created. Is not destroyed also. Because universe is Brahma. And Brahman is what? Eternal reality. Therefore, universe also is eternal. It is not created newly and destroyed. Now the question is, when do we call it manifest and when do we call it unmanifest? Universe is manifest, universe becomes unmanifest. Isn't it? When the universe, from being unmanifest, when the universe becomes manifest, you call it a creation. When the universe from being manifest, when it becomes unmanifest, you call it dissolution. Srishtihi and pralayaha. In between, you call it a sthitihi. Srishtihi, sthitihi, layaha, all the three of the universe doesn't happen outside of the reality. Isn't it? That is why reality is said to be substratum, adharam, adhishthanam, adhisthanam, adhishthanam. Sthanam means locus, location. Adhishthanam, this is where something called origination happens. This is where the universe exists. This is where the universe resolves also. So dissolution happens, creation happens, existence also happens. Where? Only in this. Which means, so becoming manifest, from being unmanifest, becoming manifest is srishtihi, and from being unmanifest, being manifest, becoming unmanifest is layaha. In between there is a sthitihi also. Is it clear? Which means, what do we mean by expression manifest, becoming manifest? We understand. This world of, entire world of beings, with all the differences and divisions, is available for interaction, perception, for objectification. Available for interaction. Available for transaction. Available for enjoyment, available for experience, then we call it manifest. When the whole world is not available for objectification, not available for perception, not available for transaction, not available for interaction and enjoyment, we call it unmanifest. So being unmanifest or becoming unmanifest does not mean being destroyed. Okay? Not being available for objectification, not being available for transaction, not being available for interaction is what's said to be what? Experience, enjoyment is said to be becoming unmanifest. Is it clear? Becoming unmanifest. And being available for transaction, experience, enjoyment is manifestation, being manifest. Which means, so that means the world is always there, with its own changes, with all the divisions, with all the differences, it is there. But the divisions also have no, the divisions are differences, all the forms, names and functions, all the changes, everything will become what? Will become unmanifest. Not available for objectification, perception, experience, enjoyment, transaction, interaction means what? Unmanifest. So, for this world to become manifest, for the world to become unmanifest, isn't it? There is something else, isn't it? That is what now we say, Brahma. So, for the world to become manifest, to become available for experience, or for it to become unmanifest, completely become not being available for objectification, or perception, experience and enjoyment, when the world is not available for experience and enjoyment, the world is as good as non-existent. Isn't it true? When the world is not available for experience and enjoyment, isn't it not as good as non-existent? It is. When it's available for experience, it is existent. When it is not available for experience, it is as good as non-existent. Which means, we have to understand here, there is a time when the world is available for enjoyment, experience and objectification, perception. Then it is manifest. There is a time the world is not available for experience and enjoyment. Then it is unmanifest. So where does this world become manifest? Where does this world become remains unmanifest? What is the locus? Isn't it? This is what we have to say. When there is manifestation of knowledge, the world is manifest. When there is manifestation of knowledge, world is manifest. When there is no manifestation of knowledge, when there is pure knowledge, when there is no manifestation, the world remains unmanifest. Knowledge manifest is what? Manifestation of the world. Knowledge is pure means world is unmanifest. I don't say knowledge is unmanifest. Do you get the point what I'm saying? Because if you say knowledge is unmanifest means something not right, isn't it? Pure knowledge, manifest knowledge. When there is manifestation of knowledge, world, jagat is manifest with all the differences, with all the divisions, all the beings, the entire world of, what now, becomes manifest. World is manifest means world is existent for us. That is when world enjoys the status of being existent. The world is really existent for us. World is available for enjoyment, available for experience, transaction, and all the differences and divisions, everything shines. And when there is no manifestation of knowledge, knowledge is pure. When you say knowledge, I mean the reality obtaining of pure knowledge, isn't it? When there is no manifestation of knowledge, then the world also becomes unmanifest. The knowledge, reality remains as pure knowledge, the world is unmanifest. The reality, this manifestation of reality, the world becomes manifest. So what becomes manifest and unmanifest is what? World. When there is manifestation of knowledge, the world is manifest. When there is pure knowledge, world is unmanifest. Get the point? I don't say knowledge is unmanifest. When there is pure knowledge, world is unmanifest. When there is manifestation of knowledge, world is manifest. Is it clear? Yes. For you, don't worry about other people. Only we have to think of our own self. Isn't it? And here, and what is that? Therefore, the world, where does the world exist? Where does the world originate? Now you understand what is origination? World becoming manifest is being created. World becoming unmanifest is being dissolved. In between there is sthiti. So all the three are not outside of the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. Therefore, when you say, before the whole world was idam, agre means what? When? Agre means before. Before means when? A particular time? No. Whenever you experience the existence. See, when this discussion takes place, When does discussion take place? When the universe is manifest or unmanifest? Tell me. Discussion itself is possible only when there is universe is manifest, isn't it? The universe is manifest means what? Knowledge is manifest. Reality is manifest. Therefore, when discussion is when the universe is manifest, you have to say what now? Idam means what? This universe. Being part of which we have this discussion. This universe was there before means before the manifestation. Okay? Therefore, you have the first manifestation, no? There must have been many manifestations. Whenever we discuss the present, that's why in Bhagavad Gita it is said, na avyaktadini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidhanan yeva tatraka paridevana. Now, vyakta madhyani means what? Before it becomes manifest, it was unmanifest. And from being manifest, it is going to become again unmanifest, isn't it? But whenever this discussion itself takes place, the world is manifest. One from the standpoint of the manifest universe, being part of this manifest universe alone, as individual, distinct from the different from the world, isolating oneself from the world, now we have taken up this discussion. For idam agre. Agre, before means before this universe, before it has become manifest. Is it clear now? Before this universe has become, before means when? Before the universe has become manifest, the universe was there unmanifest. Is it clear now? The universe was unmanifest means what was there? Brahma. What is unmanifest universe? Pure knowledge. Don't say unmanifest knowledge, okay? Unmanifest universe is equal to reality, the pure knowledge. What is implied by the term? Brahma. Is it clear now? And that Brahman is what? The knowledge. Manifest is this whole jagat. Knowledge manifest is this whole jagat. Until this point, is it clear or not? It may sound very clear. Take you step by step, isn't it? Next, now the question comes. Okay, that is very, very clear. Now, knowledge, pure knowledge is Brahma, manifest knowledge is the universe. And the manifest knowledge is the universe means universe, there's manifestation of universe, there's manifestation of knowledge, there's manifestation of universe. Knowledge is pure, the universe is unmanifest. Being unmanifest means not being available for enjoyment, experience is unmanifest. Being available for experience, objectification, enjoyment is what? Being manifest. Not being created. Is it clear? Now, the differences, divisions, plurality, countability, multiplicity, are all when? Only when the universe is manifest. When there is no, universe is unmanifest, all the divisions disappear, differences disappear, all the forms, names and functions, plurality disappears. When the universe is unmanifest, when the knowledge is pure, there is, what we have is non-dual experience. Is it clear now? When the universe is unmanifest, we have experience, non-dual experience, Advaita Anubhavaha is possible. When the universe is manifest, we have the experience of the world of duality. When this manifestation of universe, we have the experience of world of duality, plurality. When the universe is unmanifest, we have non-dual experience. Advaita Anubhavaha, then Dvaita Prapancha Anubhavaha. There is no vision of non-duality. Vision of non-duality is not there, but we have experience of non-duality. Is it? Advaita Anubhavaha is there. Advaita Darshanam is not there. when the knowledge is, when there is pure knowledge, when the universe is unmanifest, then we have Advaita Anubhavaha. We have non-dual experience. When the knowledge is manifest, when this world is manifest, we have world experience of world of duality. We have Dvaita Prapancha Anubhavaha. Dvaita Anubhavaha when the world is manifest. When the world is unmanifest, we have Advaita Anubhavaha. We have only experience. Please understand. When the world is manifest, we have Dvaita Anubhavaha. When the world is unmanifest, we have Advaita Anubhavaha. We have two different states of experience. Advaita Anubhavaha, Dvaita Anubhavaha. The experience of duality and experience of the non-duality. Is it non-dual experience? There is no vision of non-duality in both. Whether the world is manifest or the world is unmanifest. We have experience, but there is no vision of non-duality. Advaita Anubhava is different from Advaita Darshanam. Is it clear? Now let me take next step. So when there is manifestation of knowledge, reality, there is manifestation of universe. When there is manifestation of universe, we have experience of duality. Dvaita Prapancha Anubhavaha. When there is knowledge is pure, when there is no manifestation of knowledge, when the world is unmanifest, we have Advaita Anubhavaha. We have experience, non-dual experience. Whether the world is manifest or unmanifest, we do not have Advaita Darshanam. There is no vision of non-duality of the reality. We have experience, two different states of experience. Got it? I'm still with what? Idam agra asit. Don't think. I don't want you to forget where I am. Idam agra asit. Brahmava idam agra asit. Okay. Now we say, when there is manifestation of knowledge, then there is manifestation of reality in terms of manifestation of knowledge. When there is manifestation of the universe, then there is experience of duality. What is duality? I am here, the world is there, I am different from the world, world is different from me, and everything is different from everything else. The world of plurality, and then experience of divisions and differences, etc. is there. Now, when the world is unmanifest, when the knowledge is pure, there is no manifestation of knowledge, when there is non-dual experience means, what does it mean? When you say there is non-dual experience, Advaita Anubhavaha means what? There is no experience of divisions, differences, nothing. How to understand this? This is where we have to analyze our own deep sleep state. Okay, if you analyze your deep sleep state, it is like analyzing your death, also analyzing the Mahapralaya. When the whole Jagat dissolves, what will happen? What happens? When the entire cosmos dissolves, what will happen? In death, what happens? In sleep, what happens? A sleep is only model, okay? Using Shastram uses to help us understand the death, to help us understand Mahapalaya also. We don't need to worry about, really speaking, we don't need to worry about Mahapalaya at all. Here, right now, you have to understand the fact. When you're fast asleep, you have Advaita Anubhavaha. Every day in sleep, you have Advaita Anubhavaha. That's why you don't need to practice meditation for Advaita Anubhava. Understand? Whenever you fall asleep, there is Advaita Anubhavaha. There are no differences, There are no divisions. There is no world experienced. Isn't it? There is no interaction with the world. No transaction with the world. No experience of pairs of opposites. No pain. You know, deep sleep state. Is it clear or not? We analyze your own deep sleep state. That is what is Advaita Anubhavaha. So deep sleep state is not Advaita Darshanam. It is not Advaita Jnanam. Advaita Anubhava. Whenever you have Advaita Anubhavaha, isn't it? Non-dual experience is different from the vision of non-duality of the reality. That is different. So, in sleep, when there is non-dual experience, do you need moksha? Please let me tell, let me know. Please tell me, do you search for moksha in, okay? So, when there is non-dual experience, it is not possible for you to search for moksha. Why? I tell you. Then there is no bondage also. There is neither bondage nor is there freedom. There is no bondage. In deep sleep state there is no bondage. In deep sleep state there is no moksha. You can sing Nirvashakam. Name moksha bandhav. You can say that. Isn't it? There is no moksha, there is no bondage. There is no freedom, there is no bondage also in sleep. So whenever whenever you have non-dual experience, means there are no differences, no divisions, no interaction, no relationship, no experience, no enjoyment, no experience of pairs of opposites, no pain, no pleasure. Isn't it? Nothing is there, which means you are just yourself. The reality is just the reality. So, this is how a person will be even in death. When death happens, how will you be in death? How exactly you are in sleep, so you will be in death. Have exactly you are in sleep, so even Mahapralaya. Which means, so in sleep, how, what is there? Just there is pure reality, pure knowledge. Reality is there as pure knowledge. Reality is there as pure knowledge. Where is the relationship? Where is the connection? Where are the differences? Where are the divisions? So when you say, when there is manifestation of knowledge, then there is manifestation of the world. Which means the world is available for transaction, experience and enjoyment. Then the divisions are there, differences are there, then there is experience of duality. Dvaita Anubhavaha. Isn't it? When there is manifestation of world, Dvaita Anubhavaha. When is the world manifest? When there is manifestation of knowledge. When knowledge is pure, when this world is unmanifest, there is Advaita Anubhavaha. In Dvaita Anubhavaha, when Dvaita Anubhavaha is there, there is bondage, there is a freedom, search for freedom. In Advaita Anubhavaha, there is neither bondage nor is there search for freedom. Isn't it? Imagine sleep also is searching for freedom. Then there is no sleep. There is no rest, isn't it? Now the question comes, okay, what is that? When do we have this Dvaita Anubhavaha? When there is manifestation of world. When is the world manifest? When does the world become available for experience and enjoyment? only when there is manifestation of knowledge. What is the, how do you know that there is knowledge manifest? Whenever there is knowledge of the existence of the self obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am. That is the first and the foremost of the manifestations. Is it clear? The knowledge I am is there, only then the knowledge the world is possible. Have you ever thought about it? If there is no knowledge I am, then definitely the knowledge the world is not possible at all. See, I repeated so many things today. You might have felt a little bored in the beginning. Unless you are with me, you will not understand the subtle difference. The knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is impossible if there is no knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. Can you ever say, any one of you say here, no, no, I did not know I was, but I didn't know the world was. Can you say that? Can you say that? No, impossible. For you to have the knowledge of the existence of the world, there must be knowledge of the existence of one's own self first. You must know you are first. Only then you can say the world is. I don't know whether I am, but I know the world is. Meenan Tharkab, there's completely different problem, isn't it? And people may have to seduce or maybe they can inject and then they can tie and then they can rope you and then they can grab you to the psychiatrist or some mentally lunatic asylum. That's a different problem, isn't it? What sort of medication you need? That's a different problem. If you say, I know the world is, but I don't know whether I am here, you can never say that. First, you should know I am. You should know that you are first. Only then you can say the world is. Is it clear now? That's why the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, that rises, isn't it? Name of a thought. That is what is what? Foremost of the manifestations of the knowledge. Then the next question, you can say, reduce everything into one thing. The world is. Knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is rises. It's called manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear? When there's manifestation of knowledge, then there's manifestation of the universe. That's why knowing is creating. Knowing is lending existence. Now tell me, is the world dependent on you or you are dependent on the world? The world is dependent on you or you are dependent on the world? Where is I first of all? There's just the reality, okay? Just there is reality. So now we say, how do you say that there is reality? So before either agre asit, when the universe is not manifest, the universe is not available for, not created, the universe is, but it is as good as non-existent. All the elements and the elementals and everything here, all the divisions and differences, including your body, mind, and complex is what? Is part, isn't it? The entire objective universe is unmanifest. Unmanifest means it is not available for it. Unmanifest means it is as good as non-existent. If you want to check, go back to your deep sleep state. The world is as good as non-existent. If you fall asleep, where is the world? Tell me. Where is the world for you? The world is as good as non-existent. The world is unmanifest means the world is as good as non-existent. not available, isn't it? What happened to the divisions? What happens to the differences? What happens to the difference of opinions? What happens to all the experiences and the paths of opposites, pains, pleasures, etc.? What happened? Everything becomes unmanifest. When knowledge is pure. Why do you say pure? When the reality is pure. What is that reality? What is that reality which is pure? Reality is abstract. Reality is abstract. How abstract is? You can't explain. It is not perceptible, not describable, not conceivable. That's why we call, use the expression abstract. Sukshmatama vastu. Sukshmatama vastu. Abstract and subtlest. I had to use some word. Anamaka. Isn't it? No name can be given. No word can be used. So, okay, in terms of its nature, the Swarupam is knowing. Knowing is the Swarupam. Therefore, use the expression Chaitanyam Jnanam. So, the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. I use it very carefully. Swamiji's expressions. Obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. How do you arrive at pure knowledge? Is it clear? Pure knowledge is, and that knowledge has no beginning. There is no end. Doesn't come to an end. And created. Independent. Therefore what? It's always there. Everywhere it is there. So everything, therefore, implied by the term Brahma. Agra Asit. Is it clear now? Before the universe becomes manifest, what was? Tell me. See, this is really unfoldment. I don't know how much you appreciate what I'm teaching. I 100%, that's why I don't want bothered. I understand what I'm saying. I know, I see what I'm saying. Idam agra asit. Idam va, na? Idam agra asit. Idam agra brahma asit. That reality, before the universe became manifest, before it's available for a transaction, the universe was as good as non-existent. When there's no knowledge of the existence of the world, when there's no knowledge of the existence of the self also, when there was neither I nor the world, what was there? Pure knowledge. So you can't even say, I was not there. I was there as Brahma. World was there as Brahma. Difference was not there. You see the point what I'm saying? Before the manifestation of the universe, what was Brahma. Not the particular, one particular day, one fine day, suddenly the world burst, big bang, and then the world came into existence. No. This understand right now here. Every time you wake up from sleep, before you wake up, what is waking up from sleep? When there is manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self, in terms of I am, there is, oh no, that is what is waking up. Before you wake up from sleep, what was what? Brahma. What were you? You were Brahma. After becoming manifest, what are you? You are Brahma. Unfortunately, you don't know that. Once you wake up, your identity goes differently. What was the world before? Brahma. When there was Brahma, was there differences? Were there differences? No. Were there divisions? No. What was then? Was there experience? You can't say no. Non-dual experience. There was? Non-dual experience. No, that's okay. As much, the experience meant what? Experience of the world is not there. But there is, see, when the world is not experienced, we immediately what we tend to say? No experience. When the world is not available for experience, we say we don't experience. Even then there is an experience. What is that? Non-dual experience. What is non-dual experience? Not having any experience is non-dual experience. Is it clear? And the non-dual experience is there or not? Tell me. The non-dual experience is there means Advaita Anubhavaha is possible. Every time you wake up from sleep, you have to say what? I did not know I was. I did not know the world was. I did not know experience, nothing. No divisions. That non-dual experience is possible because of the presence of which? Isn't it? There is an experiencer. And that experiencer is only a status attributed to the pure knowledge. Reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. Is it clear? Before the universe became manifest, what was abstract reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, implied by the term Brahma, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. There is no manifestation of knowledge, as though there is no manifestation of universe. Brahma asit. I mean, don't think before Brahman was, now Brahman is not. No. That is how we understand. The universe is not, what is Brahma. And the universe is also what? What is same Brahman only. But we fail to see this fact. Whole teaching is for us to understand. What was Brahma, if you understand, then you can understand what is also Brahma. Unfortunately, we see the world. Is it clear? Nothing wrong in seeing the world, but you have to cognitively resolve the world in Brahma and see the world as Brahma. In seeing the world as Brahma, first you have to see yourself as being Brahma. Is it clear? Then there is neither I am nor the world. What is Brahma Mukate? Isn't it? So you have to see yourself being Brahma. Then see the world being Brahma. Then what is only Brahma. So the divisions and all, cognitively you have to resolve. So before going to Aham Brahmasmi, Brahmava Idamagra Asit. One half sentence is complete today. What's time?
May I ask one question, sir?
Yeah.
It's just that if there is an experience, which there is, of non-duality during deep sleep state, because there is the experience, the I am, although it's not
no.
in the forefront, at that point there is no I am.
If there is no knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, okay, you don't even know you are in sleep.
How can it be experienced non-duality if there is nothing to...
That is what you are, that's what I'm saying. Who is that experiencing? There is experience, I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you are experiencing. Mm-hmm. There is an experience of non-duality. Experience of non-duality is different from vision of the non-dual reality.
Swami, I'm trying to take that in.
The question is...
No. Understand what I'm saying. Vision of non-duality is different, which is going to come after Advaita, Brahma, Aham Brahma Asmi, after that.
Okay.
After the unfoldment of Aham Brahma Asmi Mahavakyam,
mm-hmm.
what's supposed to have is vision of non-duality of the reality, yeah. which is Advaita Jnanam, Advaita Darshanam,
mm-hmm.
different from Advaita Anubhavaha.
Okay.
This today is very important thing is Advaita Jnanam, Advaita, the whole study is for Advaita Jnanam, Advaita Darshanam. But we don't need to work hard at all for Advaita Anubhava. No Shastra study is required for Advaita Anubhava. Understand? You fall asleep, you have Advaita Anubhava. when you people die also, what they have? Advaita Anubhava. We have not, so we can't, oh, what will be the after death? Don't worry. What? Advaita Anubhava. Okay? So we are not interested in Advaita Anubhavaha. We are interested in Advaita Darshanam, Advaita Jnanam. Is it clear? But Advaita Anubhavaha is inevitable, unavoidable. You do have it.
So why is that it is said in deep sleep state there is non-specified ignorance?
No, I did not even use once.
Use the word ignorance.
No,
I know that.
No, in the beginning.
But it is said.
See, what I'm saying, in the very beginning, when the Vedanta classes started, we had talked about avidya. See, what I'm saying, not knowing the existence of your own self in terms of I am, is avidya, ignorance. Is it clear now? That is why avidya is also called what? Unmanifest. Avidya is called unmanifest. No way. In the beginning we say, now, that is why, where is ignorance? There is no ignorance. There is only knowledge. Pure knowledge, manifest knowledge. There is no ignorance.
Knowledge
is there ignorance now? Tell me.
The knowledge that the
relatively, you can say, if I know in waking state, you can say what? I know little physics, but I don't know computer science. There is ignorance. Oh, I'm ignorant of computer science. Relatively, you can talk about this word ignorance. Absolutely, there is no such a thing called ignorance at all. What is pure knowledge? Then manifest knowledge. If knowledge is not manifest, there is what? Still knowledge is. There is no ignorance. Knowledge is unmanifest. Understand? When it has not become manifest. Undiscovered is what? Pure knowledge. Discovered is what? Manifest. There is a way discovery of what is knowledge. All the ease is knowledge. Is it clear? See, when there is no knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, isn't it? In Advaita Anubhavaha, is there. For you, you have to wake up to say that experience. You do talk about experience, na? Which means, what was that? Because of the presence of which the experience is possible. The witnessing experience, or witnessing what is there, that is said to be given the experiencer status. That experiencer is not something with a form. Isn't it? We call it reality. It's exactly like saying now, oh, the whole room is illumined now. Illuminator is here. Who is the illuminator here? There is no illuminator. That because the presence of whose presence everything shines is the illuminator here. Status is given to the sun. Is it clear? Therefore, and you resolve that the experience of status also, in that, that's why you can't explain how it is. There is abstract reality. And you understand that reality in terms of its nature of knowing. That's why you use the term pure knowledge. Shuddha Chaitanyam, Shuddha Jnanam. And that Jnanam is what? Pure knowledge. Reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge is time-wise limitless. There's no time, there's no space. When the reality is, reality alone is, there's no manifestation, means there's no pure knowledge. When there is pure knowledge, is there time? No. Is there space? No. Is there anything else? No. Therefore what? Is time-wise limitless? Spatially limitless. Therefore, big Brahma. Idam agra asit. Idam Brahma asit. I am very happy today. I've explained idam agra asit. Okay, can go for your break, sir, tea break. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.